Welcome to Wisconsin Public Broadcasting's coverage of Governor Scott Walker's 2015 State of the State Address. We are live at the Wisconsin State Capitol in Madison. In a few moments, Scott Walker, the 45th governor of Wisconsin, will make his way into the Assembly Chambers. He will speak tonight before the full legislature, the Supreme Court, his cabinet, and other statewide elected officials. Good evening, I'm Frederica Freiberg from Wisconsin Public Television.
And I'm Sean Johnson from Wisconsin Public Radio. This State of the State gathering comes just 1 week after Scott Walker's second inauguration.
We can expect Republicans to take advantage of their strong majorities in both the State Assembly and the Senate. This is what the 103rd Wisconsin legislature will look like. In the Assembly, Democrats hold 36 seats and Republicans have 63. Wisconsin voters sent 25 new members to the Assembly. In the Wisconsin Senate, there are 14 Democrats and 18 Republicans. Currently, there is one open seat. That's in the 20th Senate District, where Glenn Grothman was elected to Congress.
State Senate Minority Leader Jennifer Schilling of La Crosse will provide the Democratic response tonight following the governor's State of the State address.
Tonight, the governor lays out his plans to consolidate some state agencies in a move to make government more efficient. Other issues include school accountability and Common Core testing.
And for months, we've been hearing talk about Walker's potential run for the presidency, which could also have an impact on his political agenda here at the Capitol.
That's absolutely right. And we do expect, of course, the governor to be walking through the assembly parlor where we sit at this moment to make his way into the assembly chambers. That has not happened yet. They are quieting the chambers for his arrival. Now, the governor has obviously been very busy. He's got this address this evening. He just did his inaugural address, and then he's got the budget address coming up shortly on February 3rd.
Yeah, and don't forget, kind of sandwiched in between there, in addition to those formal addresses as part of his job as governor, he has a speech coming up in January in Iowa, along with other 2016 hopefuls.
And so he is busy, and it would appear clearly that he is making his move toward potentially that run for president. And he is getting kind of more play now in the national media as a Republican, as a named Republican looking toward that potential run.
Yeah, I mean, and he's taking steps that would lead you to talk about that. He's hired somebody to work for his campaign to see if this is feasible. He has given the aforementioned Iowa speech, and whereas on the gubernatorial campaign, when he didn't really want to talk about any presidential talk, he's talking about it pretty freely and openly right now.
Well, and so this State of the State address would seem to have a larger audience as well, kind of a national audience will be listening. And as we've been discussing, Chris Christie, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, just did his State of the State address as well. And that, too, had kind of many mentions of Washington and the national scene, as opposed to just being specific to the state of New Jersey.
And then you have the more immediate audience there in the assembly chamber with the governor. You know, for a lot of people, these State of the State addresses are old hat, but there are so many new members of the legislature this year who are watching their first State of the State address. And so that sort of state government pageantry is still, definitely still new to them, maybe still exciting to them. And I mean, we'll see how they react to the governor's speech tonight.
And not only, the pageantry may not ever get old, really, because this is, as you well know, working here every single day, a beautiful building. And certainly a joint session of the legislature is really still an exciting thing.
And the governor is in the assembly parlor right now, waiting to be called in. When he gets announced here by the Assembly Sergeant-at-Arms, you're going to hear the Assembly erupt with applause.
And why wouldn't it, with this governor having been elected three times in 4 years? This is a man who is popular among his party, certainly in this state, and popular at a national level as well.
New York State Senate President Mary Lozick speaking
Madam
right
President
now.
And members,
and the Assembly
the governor of the great state of Wisconsin, the Honorable Scott Walker.
Thank you.
as you predicted, the eruption of applause.
Big hug there from, I believe that was State Representative Al Ott, one of the longest serving members of the state legislature now, with all the retirements in the state Senate and the assembly of longstanding members. Governor's giving his customary handshakes to both sides of the aisle. You know, you mentioned he's got a friendly crowd here. Republican majorities are as big as they've been in the assembly since the 50s, and then you've got Republicans have 18-14 edge in the Senate. So, you know, this is he's sort of preaching to the choir here a little bit in when he gives a joint address to the legislature.
We do know, having been given an advanced copy of his speech, we don't want to let too much out, you know, let the governor give his speech and say what he's going to say. But it does appear to be pretty short.
It does. It hits the points that he said it was going to hit in the little preview he gave to members of the media. It does talk about a school accountability bill. It does talk about Common Core. And it does talk about his plans to merge some state agencies. But I think, you know, those looking for a speech full of more detail, more policy, I would say wait till February 3rd when that budget address rolls around, which is the biggest bill that any governor introduces every couple of years.
Yeah, the budget bill presumably will have the meat in it. And we will await that, and we do. The governor is now shortly to take his place. Just hugged Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish.
And you notice he stopped to marvel at Representative Josh Zepnik's Green Bay Packers scarf there. Expect some Packers references in tonight's speech with them in the playoffs, as the governor made 4 years ago in his first state of the state.
It is my honor to introduce the governor of the great state of Wisconsin, the Honorable Scott Walker.
Speaker Voss, Speaker Pro Tem August, President Lazick, Majority Leader Fitzgerald, Minority Leader Schilling, Minority Leader Barca, members of the Wisconsin Supreme Court, constitutional officers, tribal leaders, members of the cabinet, distinguished guests, members of the legislature, and most importantly, fellow citizens of the great state of Wisconsin, it's an honor to appear before you again tonight. Before we get started, I'd like to introduce the First Lady of the great state of Wisconsin, my wife, Tonette. Also in the gallery are our sons, Matt and Alex, and my parents, Lou and Pat Walker, as well. Sitting next to my wife is the Adjutant General of the Wisconsin National Guard, Major General Donald Dunbar. Last Friday, General Dunbar and I saw off 522 members of the 115th Fighter Wing here in Madison. They answer the call of our nation's commander-in-chief while still being fully prepared to respond to the needs right here in Wisconsin. This is the strength of the National Guard. When all of you here and those at home go to bed tonight, I ask that you keep these men and women, as well as each of the other units deployed from Wisconsin and their families, in your prayers until their safe return. And how about those Packers? That's even better than last year's Walla initiative. That's pretty good. If there's one thing that can bring Democrats and Republicans together here in Wisconsin, it's the Green Bay Packers. Forgive me tonight if I'm a bit hoarse, but like most of you in the state, we spent a fair amount of time cheering on Sunday. I had plenty of fun hugging owners in the stands at Lambeau Field. Best of luck to the man who should be the league's MVP, Aaron Rodgers, and to the rest of the team this Sunday. Much like our military and our Packers, tonight I'm proud to report to each of you here that the state of our state is strong. The source of our strength is our people. I see it when I tour factories and farms and small businesses. I see it when I visit schools and hospitals and places of worship all across this great state. The citizens of Wisconsin are decent and smart and hardworking, and they are strong. Over the past 4 years, we have put the power back into their hands. In turn, Wisconsin is more free and prosperous. If you remember nothing else, remember this. More people are working while fewer are unemployed. State government is more effective, more efficient, and more accountable, and the state's financial condition has improved. Budgets are set based on the public's ability to pay instead of the government's hunger to spend. School scores are up, and more students are graduating. And we are helping more of our fellow citizens transition from government dependence to work. The Wisconsin comeback is working. According to preliminary numbers from the Department of Workforce Development, there are now 7,600 more private sector jobs in Wisconsin than there were before the recession. The unemployment rate that peaked at 9.2% in January of 2010 is now down to 5.2%. Trends show it will continue to drop this year. While December job numbers for the states come out next week, the preliminary November data for Wisconsin shows we had the best monthly private sector job growth in more than two decades. Specifically, the year-over-year numbers show the creation of 51,000 private sector jobs, which is the best since the end of the 1990s. Budget reforms over the past 4 years reduced the burden on the hardworking taxpayers of this state by $2 billion, and we will continue to reduce that burden every year I am in office. In particular, I am proud to say property taxes on a typical home were $141 lower in December of 2014 than they were 4 years ago. That's right. Property taxes are literally lower than they were in 2010. How many governors can say that? If property taxes had grown over the past 4 years at the rate they did between 2006 and 2010, a typical homeowner would have had to pay $385 more in property taxes this past December. Over the last 4 years combined, the cumulative difference is more than $800. That's real money. We heard you loud and clear, and thanks for all the nice notes and emails and calls to tell us how your property taxes went down. We heard from Mike and Sherry from Sheboygan, Clint from Marcusand, and Tammy from Rockwell. There was John and Christine from Milwaukee, and Karen from Portage, Dale from Jefferson, Karen from Oregon, Diane from Elkhorn, and Lewis from Marshfield. We heard from people all across the state. My pledge to you is that property taxes 4 years from now will be even lower than they were in 2014. We reduced income and employer taxes, too. And we started taking less out of paychecks for withholding last April so you could keep more of your hard-earned money. On top of our economic success, we empowered local school boards to hire and fire based on merit and pay based on performance so they can keep the best and the brightest in the classroom, and it's working. Over the past 4 years, graduation rates are up, third grade reading scores are up, ACT scores are up, and Wisconsin now ranks second in the country. Our fiscal outlook is strong, too. We finished each year with a surplus, and we will again this year. Wisconsin's pension system is the only one fully funded in the country. The state's pension and debt ratio is one of the best. Our bond rating is positive. And the rainy day fund, it's the largest in state history, 165 times bigger than when we first took office. While the state of the state is strong, we want it to be even stronger in the future. Tonight, I will lay out plans for part of our legislative agenda for the future of this great state. Our plan will help people get the education and skills that they need to succeed. We want the opportunity to be as equal as possible, with the outcome left up to each and every one of us. In other words, our plan is to help more people live their piece of the American dream right here in Wisconsin. We will build off of our successes in worker training through the Blueprint for Prosperity we announced last year. So far, we helped out nearly 5,000 more students get into classes at our 16 technical colleges throughout the state. Some of them are with us here tonight. One of those is Amber Meads, who I met at Waukesha County Technical College. Amber is 24 and was on a waiting list to get into the welding program. Our Wisconsin Fast Forward grant opened up a spot for her to start in the fall semester. Amber now knows she is getting the training she needs for a high-paying career that will support her and her 5-year-old daughter, Cheyenne. Both of them are with us here tonight. Last year, we announced a new program called A Better Bottom Line that was patterned after an idea from my friend, Delaware Governor Jack Markell, when he was the chair of the National Governors Association. It's about helping employers identify the unique abilities of people who are defined by some as having a disability. Tonight, I want to recognize some of the people who I met this year through A Better Bottom Line. Here with me tonight are people like Spencer Kletzin of Dickman Manufacturing in Grafton, Mary LaPointe, who uses her computer skills at her job with Beyond Vision in Milwaukee, Peter Wenzel, who works at Mosinee Cold Storage, and Dan Blumgren, who I met at McGlynn Pharmacy in Stoughton. Let's give them each a round of applause. As part of A Better Bottom Line, we expanded programs helping transition people with disabilities into the workforce in a way that matched their skills with the needs of prospective employers. For the first time in more than a decade, and with the help of Senator Schilling and Representative Shanklin, see, Peter, I said I'd tell you that. That's right. The Division of Vocational Rehabilitation eliminated a waiting list for employment services for people with significant disabilities. We will continue to expand these programs in the coming year. In addition to worker training, we will ensure that every child, regardless of background or birthright, has access to a quality education. We will continue to empower families to make the choice that is right for their sons and daughters. Tonight, I call on members of the state legislature to pass legislation ensuring objective information is available for each and every school receiving public funds in the state. Provide the information and allow parents to make the choice. No need for bureaucrats or politicians to make that choice. I trust parents. Give them. Give them access to objective information, and they will make the choice that is best for their children. And speaking of what is best for our students, I also call on the members of this legislature to pass legislation making it crystal clear that no school district in the state is required to use Common Core standards. Now, going forward, I want to eliminate any requirement to use Common Core, but let me be clear. My sons graduated from outstanding public schools in Wauwatosa, and my nieces are in public schools as well. So I have a vested interest, like parents all across the state, in high standards. But these standards should be set by people from within Wisconsin and preferably at the local level. Looking ahead, we are proposing bold reforms to make state government more effective, more efficient, and more accountable to the public. We will consolidate several of our state agencies. While the mergers will provide savings in the next state budget, the real objective is to improve services while being better stewards of the taxpayers' money. Currently, the state has two different entities directly involved with economic development. One, the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, was created 4 years ago to replace the old Department of Commerce. The other, the Wisconsin Housing and Economic Development Authority, was created more than four decades ago. Tonight, I ask the members of this legislature to pass legislation combining these two into one, so resources can be shifted from overhead into economic development. Our plan will put an even greater emphasis on working at the grassroots level with local, regional, and private sector partners on economic development. There are also several agencies which oversee financial institutions and professional services. Tonight, I call on the members of the state legislature to approve legislation combining these agencies into a one-stop shop for professional and financial services. In addition, our legislative package will include several other consolidations within existing agencies, as well as further regulatory reforms. We want common sense solutions, not bureaucratic red tape. Now, there are some in Washington who believe government should play a growing role in our lives and rarely question its expanse. Others have such a disdain for government that they attempt to keep it from working at all. Instead, we have a chance to lead here in Wisconsin. I believe that government has grown too big and too intrusive in our lives, and we must rein it in. But the government that is left must work. As taxpayers, we should demand that the functions that the government must reasonably do, it should do well. We should demand the government that is more effective, more efficient, and more accountable to the public. Top-down regulations and mandates from the federal government can get in the way of innovation and growth in Wisconsin and states like ours. Therefore, I'm working with our new Attorney General to prepare a lawsuit challenging the newly proposed federal energy regulations. These proposals could have a devastating impact on Wisconsin because we are so heavily dependent on manufacturing. According to recent reports, we could lose tens of thousands of jobs in our region, and the ratepayers could see an increase of up to 29%. We will fight to protect Wisconsin's hardworking families. Instead of fighting with states like Wisconsin, the federal government should work with us to find reasonable alternatives. We can be both environmentally and economically sustainable. These are just a few of the big, bold ideas to help move Wisconsin forward. In a few weeks, we will return to these historic chambers to share our state budget proposal. As we close tonight, let's remember what unites us and makes us strong. Here in Wisconsin, support for the Packers transcends political, religious, and personal differences. Heck, I was sitting a row ahead and a few seats over from a guy on Sunday who didn't care much for my policies. I told him we were all Packer fans there, and by the end of the game, we were high-fiving another Green Bay victory. True story. True story. Green and gold runs deep. Here in America, support for our military transcends those same differences. Now, that wasn't always the case. But thankfully, we've learned from our past transgressions. We support our men and women in uniform, and we thank our veterans. Red, white, and blue runs even deeper. There is one more place where we must also stand united. Last week, innocent people were targeted in France by terrorists. These cowards are not symbols of confidence. They are overwhelmed by fear. They are afraid of freedom. They are afraid of those who have the freedom of the press. They are afraid of those who have freedom of speech. They are afraid of those who have freedom of religion. Tonight, we must stand together, Democrat and Republican, and denounce those who wish to threaten freedom anywhere in this world. We need to proclaim that an attack against freedom-loving people anywhere is an attack against us all, and we will not allow it. When we take a stand, we make it easier to work for freedom and prosperity right here in Wisconsin. Thank you for taking that stand. May God bless each and every one of you. May God bless the great state of Wisconsin. And may God bless freedom-loving people all over the world.
And so Governor Scott Walker concludes his fifth State of the State address before a joint session of the Wisconsin Assembly and Senate. He took his speech international tonight at the very end, talking about the terrorism in France. And for those remarks, really, he got the most sustained and longest applause.
Yeah, if you were looking for this speech as maybe a hint at presidential ambitions, that was maybe where you heard it. He hit the freedom point that he hit several times in his inauguration speech. I guess the other time would be where he talked about sort of how he views the role of government. He referred there to people in Washington. Some in Washington believe government should play a growing role. Others have disdain for government. He's kind of trying to position himself somewhere in the middle of that, saying that we need to reform government, but what we leave behind has to work. Otherwise, you know, definitely seemed to be geared toward a Wisconsin audience. The points that he said he was going to hit on in terms of policy initiatives, Common Core, he didn't get too much in-depth there. Didn't get too in-depth on what he wants from a school accountability bill, said that he wants it. And did talk about a few agencies that he wants to see mergers in: Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, Wisconsin Housing and Economic Development Authority. Talked about merging some financial agencies that handle financial institutions and professional services. But, not a lot there other than those references.
Kind of the broad strokes of that, but I think, you know, waiting for his budget address on February 3, we might begin to see clearly some more of the specifics of that, because if you are consolidating agencies, presumably you are cutting workforce, because this is a governor that wants to reduce the size and scope of government after all.
Yeah. At the same time, he's not building up the cost savings on these particular mergers too much. He said, while the mergers will provide savings in the next budget, the real objective is to improve services there. So he's not setting up this move as something that's going to, you know, wipe out any kind of budget deficit. In fact, not too many references to budget deficit, but and billing it more as making a government that works better.
Clearly going forward, though, those budget numbers are something that they will have to address, and they will have to address them in all the kinds of ways that they do with their policy.
Right. And, whether or not he addresses them in his speech, we're going to know the details very soon. And the governor's given every indication he wants the legislature to move quickly on the budget this year. This is the earliest he'll be giving his his budget address since he's been governor.
And tell us why that is.
Well, you know, there's possible reasons. Maybe he wants to get moving on other stuff.
That's right. Well, we should say that the new state Senate Minority Leader, Jennifer Schilling, will lead Senate Democrats in the upcoming legislative session.
Jennifer Schilling is from La Crosse and represents the 32nd Wisconsin Senate District. She has tonight's minority response.
Good evening. I'm Senator Jennifer Schilling. I want to thank you for tuning in and joining this discussion about the future of our state. Tonight we heard Governor Walker paint a rosy picture of our current situation. While he continues to focus on the problems plaguing our nation's capital, taxpayers here at home continue to have concerns about our state's $2 billion deficit and the direction that we're heading. Wisconsin families are working harder than ever, but many are finding that no matter how much they sacrifice or how many hours they put in, they live every day on the verge of economic and financial insecurity. The burden of rising student loan debt, the outsourcing of American jobs, and the ever-increasing costs of health insurance and childcare are making it difficult for families to get ahead. Despite these challenges, we know that there is a path to success, and we don't have to look far for solutions. Take our neighboring state of Minnesota, for example. 4 years ago, they found themselves in a similar position as us. Like Wisconsin, they faced a budget deficit as a result of the national recession and an economy that was struggling to create jobs. While Wisconsin leaders made deep cuts to education, local services, and worker training programs, Minnesota took a different approach and invested in local schools. They expanded access to affordable health care, and they raised their minimum wage to encourage economic growth. As a result, Minnesota is outperforming Wisconsin in terms of job creation, business climate, and family income. And because of their growth, Minnesota has a $1 billion budget surplus, while Wisconsin faces a $2 billion deficit. Now, I know that our Viking neighbors to the west could learn a thing or two from us when it comes to football, but we should still take a close look at their state's success and find new ways to invest in our future and build a stronger Wisconsin. As we seek to balance our budget and build a brighter future, Democrats are committed to focusing on the important issues at hand. We will continue to put forward thoughtful proposals that improve workplace flexibility, increase economic freedom, and invest in pro-growth policies to expand the middle class. In fact, two of the bills we've already introduced this session aim to strengthen our schools and encourage local job creation. We recognize that these aren't Democratic or Republican issues. They're Wisconsin issues, and we must find ways to work together on these key priorities. One area where I hope we can find bipartisan support is investing in our local schools, our technical colleges, and our UW campuses. We know that a quality education provides the foundation for lifelong success. Yet state cuts, local funding challenges, and the massive increase of student loan debt have become a significant burden for our families. By making targeted investments in our schools, we can improve education outcomes and better prepare workers for the high-tech jobs of the 21st century. A skilled workforce is only one part of the equation, however. One of our top priorities as Democrats is to help businesses improve productivity, reduce employee turnover, and provide greater workplace flexibility. We want to focus on increasing access to affordable childcare and reducing health care costs in order to eliminate the barriers that prevent employers and employees from succeeding in a competitive global marketplace. We also recognize that our government has a responsibility to strengthen communities and private enterprise by maintaining a strong public infrastructure. From repairing aging roads and bridges to encouraging broadband access in urban and rural areas, we need to ensure that our infrastructure is an asset, not a liability to business growth. Despite our challenges, Wisconsin remains a unique, vibrant, and hardworking state, full of amazing people and unparalleled potential. We all want strong schools, a thriving economy, and the security of knowing that we can give our children a brighter future. These goals are all within our reach, but we need to find new ways to work together, invest in our communities, and expand opportunities for everyone. In Wisconsin, we know that our state does better when we all do better. Together, let's find common ground and work to move our state onward, upward, and forward. Thank you.
That was Wisconsin Senate Minority Leader Jennifer Schilling of La Crosse.
Now, if you would like to see tonight's State of the State speech and the Democratic response, Wisconsin Public Television will be posting it online later this evening, and you can find that at WPT.org. Also, look for continuing coverage this Friday night on WPT on our program Here and Now at 7:30.
Wisconsin Public Radio will also continue to follow developments from the Capitol. You can hear more discussion tomorrow morning with Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio and State of the State coverage during our newscasts. I'm Sean Johnson with Wisconsin Public Radio.
And I'm Frederica Freiberg from Wisconsin Public Television. That concludes Wisconsin Public Broadcasting's coverage of the State of the State address.